Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to discuss the Word of God. The past few weeks, we've been talking about who has bewitched you in the book of Galatians. We've looked at the Judaizers and the Christians there in Galatia and realized that they were saved under Apostle Paul's ministry and preaching and teaching. But someone came in on their salvation experience and stopped their growth process. And so when we look at this, we see the same example or the same thing happening today in the world. Satan has not changed his tactics, his schemes, and we've been looking at the fact that Satan uses anybody. He can use ourselves. He can use false teachings, false doctrines, false teachers, and our upbringing, wrong perspectives, anything that's contrary to faith in Christ and Him crucified. When we say faith in Christ and the cross, we're simply saying that victory came one way. For those of us that are in Christ and that are saved, we had to, or before salvation, we had to come to the end of ourselves and realize that nothing, the void that was in our lives, nobody or nothing could fill it, right?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So when we realized that there was a void, when we came to the end of ourselves and we realized we needed something more, God created us because He created us to have, to want Him. The desire should be Him for our lives. The desire in our lives is a moral code of God's righteousness, or moral code is written on our hearts and in our lives. So there's always going to be a longing in mankind. But because of the fall, because Adam and Eve fell in the garden and didn't obey God, God gave mankind, or Adam and Eve, dominion. Adam was the representative man. So he represented all of us. We were in his loins, right? Mm-hmm. And so God held him accountable or as the representative man. And he whether he obeyed or disobeyed, it fell on him. And so what he did would affect all of us. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So because Eve was deceived. Satan knew that he couldn't get to Adam unless he went through Eve. See, Satan uses the same tricks.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Adam, out of his desire for the woman, said he wasn't deceived. He just flat out disobeyed. Why? Presumption. When we desire to have something and we want to have it because we want it, that is presumption. And then we'll stamp God's name on it. And what happened was he just flat out disobeyed because of his own desire for the woman. And when he disobeyed, all of mankind went into a state of failure.
Amen.
Sin came in and separated mankind from God. And so God knew from the foundation of the world that Adam and Eve was going to fail in the garden. So what did he do? The solution in the Bible says that from the foundation of the world, God knew and he was going to send his son to redeem. Amen? So Christ came as the last Adam. He came as the last Adam to restore and to redeem. So this redemption plan was created or known from the foundation of the world between the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? So God knew that we were going to fail, and in knowing that we would fail, he had a plan. And in this plan, it did not mean that you and I, in our strength, were going to fix ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. So let's start at Galatians 3, and we're going to see how the enemy came in through false teachers, even in our ignorance, you see, because as Christians, we are responsible. The Bible says, but grow in grace and knowledge of mm-hmm. our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You and I can't grow unless it's the grace of God operating in our lives when our faith is in the right object. And if the grace of God is operating, you got to get some knowledge, some understanding. Before we go to Galatians 3, let's go to Philippians 1, because I want us to see this, and we're going to paint this picture. And we've said some things before, but we always want to clarify and let everybody see the whole story. So in Philippians, keep your finger at Galatians 3. And let's turn over to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse, we'll start at verse next.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start at verse 1 and we'll go down to verse 6. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from our God, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, you got it, Sister Cher?
Philippians 1.
Uh-huh, 6.
Okay. Being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
All right. So I want us to see here, he's talking to the Christians in Philippi. Now notice he says, being confident of this very thing. What's this very thing? That he which has begun a good work. What is the good work? See? A good work in you. The good work is, and he always refers to it as a good work. Then he said, fight the good fight. See? What makes this work good and what makes this fight good? The reason why it's good is because God is the one who orchestrated from the foundation of the world that mankind will be redeemed back to the Father through the death of his Son. See? So it's a good work.
Amen.
And this work was not done by man. See, when we put our hands in it, we saw what happened. We disobeyed and sin and failure came in, right? And so we fell from the grace of God and we were separated from God. So now to be redeemed back to the Father, Paul is commending these Christians that they gave their lives to Christ. They looked to the cross. They saw that there was a void in their life and they needed a Savior. So most of us have to get to the point where nothing can satisfy but the Lord.
Amen.
See, some of us hard-headed. It takes going through losing stuff and losing people and losing friends and jobs and money and making mistakes and not realizing that that's the goodness of God leading us to repentance.
Amen.
See, it takes the goodness and the grace. Sometimes we look at, oh, poor them, why did... No, let it happen so they can come to the end of themselves. What happened
Amen.
To the prodigal? When he lost his money, he asked for his dad. He said, give me my money, Dad, my inheritance, and let me be. I'm grown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when he left home, the father gave it to him. He left. Mm-hmm. He didn't try to keep him. But when he realized he had friends, but when the money was gone, the friends were gone.
Amen.
And then ultimately he had nothing to eat and was getting ready to eat with the pigs and remembered his father.
Yes, amen.
See, the confidence came back. Being confident, see, sometimes we can lose our confidence because of what we see, what we're going through. And God says, cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward.
Yes.
Your faith, your object of faith, see, everybody has faith in something. But what the Holy Spirit has to do in the life of the sinner and the life of the believer is to direct us, allow situations to get us, to happen in our lives, to get us on the right path and to put our faith in the one object. See, your faith is only good as the object you place it in.
Amen.
So when we place our faith in Christ, he's already, it's a complete, it's a finished work. When he died at Calvary, he said, it is finished, right?
Yes.
So why are we as believers trying to work to earn salvation, to deliver ourselves, to change ourselves, to make things happen for ourselves? See, this is what happened with Adam and Eve. Satan came along and said, God told him, the day you eat from that tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of good and evil, you shall surely die. Satan came along and said, you shall not, for God knows that in the day you eat it, you shall become wise, knowing good and evil. See?
Mm-hmm.
God never was never going to allow them to experience no evil through experience. Satan didn't tell them that part. They was going to come to know evil, good and evil, through experience, sin. See?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be so, and I'm going to get here, we have to be so confident in the cross, or what the cross of Christ has accomplished on our behalf. There's stuff in all of us that we don't even know need to be corrected.
Amen.
There's stuff in us that needs to be taken out. There's wrong belief. There's superstitions. There's biases and opinions, and we got ways that just we were brought up, and we want to hold on. We don't want to leave it. We want to cleave to it.
Mm-hmm.
And God, as we yield and surrender to his way, we allow him access to our hearts. The problem with most of us, we get saved and then we don't want to change.
Wow, amen.
Jacob wrestled with God. Why was he wrestling? Because Jacob's name meant supplanter, schemer, see, trickster. He tried to get things, but he schemed. He manipulated people and things to get it, right? But as he held on to God, that angel that was the pre-incarnate of Christ, when he held on to him, the angel said, let me go. And he said, no, not till you bless me. And the angel said, what's your name? Jacob had to admit who and what he was. He said, Jacob, and Jacob meant schemer, supplanter, and trickster. And God, that angel said, no longer will your name be Jacob. I'll make your name Israel, to have peace with man and God. See?
Amen. Yes.
And he broke him in his hip. He touched the hollow of his hip, and Jacob walked with a limp. But he continued to hold on to God, and God blessed him. But there had to be brokenness. See?
Yes.
The cross of Christ, God is not going to use anything that we have done or we've created. He's not going to rehabilitate man. See, when we get saved, we need to know what we signing up for. Most of us just signed up because, oh, it's the right thing to do, and I just want God to fix my problems. And God said, no, I want to fix you.
Amen.
See, problem is we don't want God. So we go and sit under an organized church where it does not require me to be uncomfortable and change, see?
Yeah.
That's why I can go to church, have an attitude, still be mean, but yet because I'm working, then everybody think I'm right with God. And that's not God's, like, I don't care about the external.
Wow, amen.
I'm looking at your heart, and he desires that each of us have the mind of Christ. So when he says being confident of this very thing, it means to be persuaded. It said to induce one by words to believe, to make or to win one's favor, gain one's goodwill. See? Mm-hmm. To be persuaded.
Yes.
Or to move and to do something, or persuaded to do something. So let's go back to that scripture. He said being confident, that word confident, being confident means being persuaded. And it's a point of being so persuaded that you move with this persuasion. The problem with us is we can amen the word, mm-hmm. we can quote the word, but when it comes to living it, applying it, let's put it that way. This is, being confident means you're so persuaded that you're going to be moved by it, see?
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem in the body of Christ. We're coming together and going to doing external works, but there's no change in the heart.
Wow, amen.
We're the same way we were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. There's no internal change. We're still putting up with the same mess. We're still talking about the same stuff. We're still getting caught up in the same gossip. We're still believing the same spirits.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We don't go study our word. We ain't studying. Now, when we say read the word, there's a difference from reading the word and studying it. Many of us hadn't read the Bible completely through.
Amen.
See, not trying to be funny, but we have, in order to know and grow, we got to know. So you got to know in this manual he's given us, if we're not being persuaded to move and act, see, that means the Holy Spirit is not operating. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means that you're indolent. You're not moved. There's a slowfulness. There's a sluggish. There's you've been put to sleep. See, and he said, awake, thou that sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life.
Amen.
See it? So a lot of us been rocked to sleep by religion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us put our trust in the preacher or the person that's behind the pulpit, and we won't pick up the word to see if what they're saying is accurate.
Amen.
See, we're all responsible for it. We can't put that all on the preacher, and we've gotten comfortable with just hearing what they say and never checking it and making sure it means what they said it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why a lot of people, Hosea said, my people are destroyed due to a lack of knowledge. It wasn't that they didn't know. It's that they rejected what God had given, and they went to find preachers and teachers to teach what they wanted to hear, called itching ears.
Wow.
See? So, but when we're confident, being confident of this very thing that he, talking about God, which began a good work in, where did he do this work? In your church?
Nope. In you, in us.
Wait a minute. No, in your pastor, right?
Nope.
No.
He began this good work in you.
Yes.
See? And this good work is the fact that, he said, Peter, who do men, he asked the disciples, who do men say that the Son of God am? And they said, some say Elijah, and some say John the Baptist. Okay, who you say I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter immediately said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Holy Spirit gave him that revelation. He was like, where'd that come from? But then shortly afterwards, see, Peter should have taken that revelation and become confident, fully persuaded, and let the Holy Spirit continue to work to make that revelation a reality.
Amen.
And shortly afterwards, Christ said, I got to go to the cross because the Pharisees are going to come, and I must go. And Peter said, because the cross did not align with Peter's motives. See, Peter's mindset and motives was that Christ, the Messiah, would come and overthrow Rome and put Israel as a ruling nation again. That what Christ said, that ain't why I came. I came to change Israel's heart.
Yes. Amen.
See, we do the same thing. Oh, Lord, come in and fix it. Lord, change this situation. Lord, get my enemy. Sick them, God. Get them. And God said, nope. Job, when you pray for your friends, then I'll restore. Yes, ma'am.
And how do we think that God, oh God, you're gonna get them people, you're gonna get them. And we sitting there living all kind of ways, any kind of way, and saying, Lord, get them, and Lord saying, I'm gonna get you too.
Yeah, right. And most of the time being a good person is just as bad as the person out there doing bad things. Y'all hear me when I say this. Most of the time, the goodness that we present and do is a cover-up, and it hinders us from seeing our true condition. Just because you're a good Christian don't mean that you don't need to be changed.
Wait, man.
And when I say a good Christian, I mean that just because you don't do the cursing, the clubbing, the smoking, because we tend to look at the externals and say, well, I don't do those things, and I'm right with God, and I don't need to be changed. And God says, nope, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Amen.
Y'all see? Because I didn't club and smoke and do all those things, but guess what? I was still a sinner. And why was I a sinner? Because everyone born out the womb of his mother was born in sin.
Amen.
You can get a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and you can train them up, and a 10-year-old, and they can go to church all their lives, and you can teach them the scriptures. But guess what? Still in them is a bent towards wrongdoing.
Yes. Amen.
What am I saying? Everyone has to be delivered from self. Everybody got to be delivered from sin. Everybody got to be, because we have dependence upon ourselves, and most of the time we won't cry out to God. He's not our first resource. He's not the first one we seek after. And see, most of the situations and predicaments we're in, we run to men, we run to people to fix our problems, and every time people step in, all you're doing is being pushed away, further away from God.
Yes.
But when we let people come to the end, step back and say, God, remember, John the Baptist said, I'm a friend of the bridegroom. I can't get in the bride's situation. That's not my job. They need to run to their husband. John the Baptist said, they need to go to the bridegroom. See, you and I have to remain friends with the bridegroom, and what he tells you to do, do it. Because most of the time, we're getting in the way of what God is trying to do in the lives of others.
Amen.
See, and so we as, and it can seem like a good thing to help and to do, but most of the times you're in the way of what God's trying to do in their lives. He may be trying to break Jacob, get Jacob to stop depending upon himself or upon people. And so you and I have to realize that it's good things are just as bad as some of these things we said, clubbing, smoking, drinking, all this stuff out there. Those good things, because if they're getting in the way of God working in our lives, then the good things can hinder God.
Amen.
David said, keep me, Lord, from presumptuous sin. That means that you going getting ahead in the flesh doing something because you assume or presume God wants you to do it that way. And God, you hadn't sought him and he hadn't told you to do it that way.
Wow, amen.
Those are presumptuous sins, see? And so what I'm saying is that we all have a work, we all have some things in us that need to be put to death. So it doesn't affect your position of being saved. The problem that the church has is being delivered and changed, sanctification. And our job is to put our faith in the cross every day. So when situations arise, God normally either allows or calls the situation to happen just to get you and I to put our faith in the cross.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens in the life of the believer unless God knows. God has, he knows about it. Satan had to get permission from Job. God knew about it. It was a bad thing. He lost all those things, those children, everything he owned, got sick. And God said, go ahead, Satan, have at it. Why? Because God was after Job's sanctification. Job had a self-righteous position. He thought that he was right with God because he prayed, he fasted. If you read, you'll see that he did all these things, prayed for his children, did all this to make sure. And they had a belief at that time that if you own and possess a lot of things, that you were right with God. God had to disturb that belief. God had to show Job, you're not right because of anything you've done.
Wow.
You're right with me because of what my son has done. And I'm going to have to fix this area of your sanctification. You're still saved, Job, but there are some things in your life that you're not putting your object of faith in the cross. You're not trusting that I'm going to send a coming redeemer, and he's going to redeem. And this good work is going to be done in people. It's going to be performed in you.
Yeah.
See, that's what that was all about, and it's the same thing today. God doesn't want to, he doesn't cause the bad things to happen, but he said, I can take what was meant for evil and work it for your good.
Yeah.
See, Satan meant that thing for evil in Job's life. He wanted Job to curse God and die. He even used his wife. But God said, I'll take it, Job. If you look to me and be confident, persuaded, and act on what what you're persuaded about, if you act on it by faith and get your object of faith right, I'm going to show you a good work. I'm going to perform it in you. Yeah, your friends said that you were a sinner and you did something to sin, but guess what? I'm going to cause you to be able to pray for them.
Yes, amen.
And it said when Job prayed for his friends, God restored him. Why? Because the good work had taken place in his life where he could have murmured and complained and cursed them out and called them all kind of names because they said he was a sinner and this and that. He prayed for them. Y'all see? This is the work of sanctification taking place in the life of a man who once looked at his life as he was self-righteous.
Yes.
See?
Amen.
What am I saying? The same thing for Peter. Peter said, no, Lord, you can't go to the cross. But it took, he said, Peter. Peter couldn't see himself, and he said, Lord, I won't never leave. He said, Christ said, the enemy going to come, and the sheep going to be scattered, and you all going to leave me alone. Peter said, Lord, I won't ever leave you alone. See, he had a his position of self-righteousness, He was trying to live and love God in his strength, and it takes a power source much greater than you and I.
Wow, amen. Yeah.
So him looking to the flesh, he thought he had confidence in his flesh, and Christ looked at him and said, Peter, before that cock crow, three times you will have denied me. And it's, the history said that when he was around the fire and people said, hey, look, they was crucifying Christ and they was had him on trial. They said, he was with him too. Look, I remember him. Mm-hmm. Peter said, no, it ain't me. He went to another fire, went somewhere else. And the girl said, yeah, that's him. He was with him. Peter cursed and swore and said, I don't know the man. Mm-hmm. And three times it happened, and guess what? The cock crowed.
Wow, amen.
And the history says that when he heard that, well, the Bible says he heard it, he wept bitterly. But history says that every time Peter heard that cock crow, he would just weep and because he was reminded.
Yeah.
Y'all see?
Yeah.
But that failure, see, he had to go from trusting in his strength and ability, seeing himself as he really was, broken. Now he's broken. And now his heart has been changed. The good work can now be performed. Y'all see what it takes
Amen.
To get us to that point?
Yes.
It takes some things to get us to see. I come to realize that we can't see. We don't see straight. We see other people and what they're doing and what they're not doing. But we can't, for some reason, see ourselves.
Amen.
Y'all see? And until we see ourselves, see, until God get us to the point where I can see myself as I really am, see, when King Uzziah died, there's some things that in our lives that's high and lifted up, but God has to bring them down. And Isaiah said when King Uzziah died in Isaiah 6, then he could see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. When you and I can see the Lord for who he really is, because sometimes in some of these religious churches, we don't see the Lord for who he is. We see him as a money guy. We
mm-hmm.
see him as somebody to come fix our problems.
Mm-hmm.
We see him as a bellhop. Y'all see? But
yes.
When we allow those things to die, see,
Amen.
When we come to the end of ourselves and we see the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple, Isaiah said, then I said, woe is me, for I am a sinner. You see?
Amen.
Only until we see Christ, not your problems, not your situations, and too many of us have let our problems become our Isaiahs or our God. We've exalted them that we can't see Christ.
Yes.
And when we can't see Christ, he can't do the work. I can't see myself.
Wow.
Because I have to admit what I am before healing can come.
Amen.
I have to admit what I'm going through and what the problems I face. I have to admit to God, Lord, oh, Lord, woe is me.
Wow. Yeah.
And when I do that, it said that an angel took a coal from the brazen altar, which represented the cross. That's where the animal was sacrificed. And it was a picture of the cross, and put it on his lips. And after that, he saw the Lord. He was cleansed, and then he heard something. See?
Amen.
Christ said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Yes.
But you and I have to hear properly, because we can't hear with a bitter spirit. We can't hear with a self-righteous spirit. We can't hear with preconceived ideas and our own opinions and our own bias. You can't hear properly with those things in the way.
Amen.
But you got to hear and see things purely through the eyes of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ and him crucified don't see no color. It don't see no race. It don't see no denominations. It sees the blood.
Amen.
See? So when you look at everybody through the eyes of the cross, I don't care who they are, because some of us have some wrong belief systems and biases, and if people ain't like us or the color of us, we're going to have, y'all understand how we do. We tend to lean to those that we feel more comfortable with. And God died. God said, I sent my son for the world.
Yes.
He said, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. So if God is not looking at the color of anybody's skin, who are we?
Amen.
Y'all see? Who are we? I don't care if they're rich. I don't care if they're poor. God said he looks at them all. He looked at us all through the eyes of the cross. He looked at everybody through the eyes of the cross, and he died. While we were yet sinners, while we pulled the beard out of his face, while we whipped him, and I was reading how they took the crown of thorns and they bashed his head until the thorns went thrusting in his head. Guess what he did? He uttered not a word and died.
Ooh, geez,
he redeemed mankind. So who are we to talk against God's creation whom he died for? You're going to be held accountable. We're going to be held accountable. And so we have to be careful because we're in this world, but we're not of it. And we'll forget that we were called for a purpose. We were called to be the light of the world. And I was reading in Psalms, it said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. And the note said something to the effect that when one saint dies, that means a light went out in the earth.
Wow.
Y'all see, we are the light, but if we conform to this world system, if we allow what the world says to enter into us and we become all like the world, then you are light that's gone out.
Jesus.
He was referring to the death of a saint and how powerful it is when a saint dies, how it affects the world, because darkness is just simply the absence of light. And Christ said, he's the light of the world. But when he left, he said, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill.
Yes.
Don't cover up your light. Don't hide it under a bushel. But you and I as Christians were meant to shine. But we cannot shine unless this good work is taking place in us. What is this good work? This good work means that when we entered in upon salvation, we said, Lord, I need a Savior. That was our starting line to be changed, to enter into the second phase of salvation, which is sanctification. The first phase of salvation is justification, meaning that the wrath of God that was against us has been settled. And God says, not guilty. That's justification, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now that you're justified, he said, the just shall now live, how? By faith. So now, now that you're justified, you got to live this thing out. Walk this thing out by being confident of the very thing, the reason that he's called you is to begin this good work in you. He's already begun it when you gave your life to Christ. So the next phase is that he has to deliver you and I. This is a lifelong process. And this word here, when he said he that begun a good work in you will perform it, that means it will continue. It's a present It's taking place now. It's going to continue, right?
Yes.
He will do it until the day of Christ. That's talking about until the rapture of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I will never get to the point where we don't need this work to be performed in us.
Amen.
It's a lifelong process. Y'all see it? Mm-hmm. So he says the just shall live this life here on earth, how? By faith in the cross. You got to have your faith in the cross. The only way for this work to be performed is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way for the Holy Spirit to work, he only works when he sees faith in the right object. And it has to be in the cross of Christ.
Amen.
So that word perform in the Greek, it means to bring to an end or to accomplish, to execute, to complete, to take upon oneself. So the Holy Spirit has taken upon himself to complete or execute, meaning that the sole purpose of mankind being created in the Garden of Eden, God didn't create them to fall. So now the Holy Spirit has to get to work and make us what God's original intent was. See? So that bent that was towards wrongdoing, that sin nature, God has, when we accept Christ, he in essence, it's not eliminated, but it's dormant. So in essence, he unplugs it, meaning that the works of unrighteousness cease. And because it's been unplugged, what the sin nature produced before salvation, the residue of sin is still in us, and the Holy Spirit is responsible for cleaning that up. So wherever there's bad habits, wrong thinking, wrong thoughts, you and I have to continue to be confident, see?
Yes,
be confident in the act or the work of the cross, that when he died almost 2,000 years ago, that same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you.
Amen.
And the only way that power can be used to execute or to complete this work is if you and I place our faith in the right object. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Any questions?
Amen. Well, that verse 6, that's a powerful verse. Amen.
Yes, ma'am, because a lot of people are are teaching. People sincerely get saved and they go to church, and people teaching them that they got to work to do something. We have a part. Now, we have a part, and our part is to yield, surrender, and exhibit faith in the cross. Now, the work that the church be pointing people to do, external works, is different than what the Holy Spirit has called us to do. Now, he's called to work in us, but we will do external works, but we have to first get this work done in us. That makes sense?
Amen.
We have to first let the Holy Spirit work in us. And I'm not saying we have to wait before you do anything, but I'm saying that you can't do something out of a wrong motive. You can't do a good thing out of a wrong motive. It cancels out, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
You can't go and feed the poor, but then hate your neighbor.
Wow, amen.
Y'all see, the two don't match. And this is what we're teaching people to do. We're not letting God, by not letting God deal in our own heart. If I have a malice or anger or unforgiveness towards somebody, and then I go over here and say, okay, I ain't messing with them, but okay, I'll pass out and I'll help this person over there. Well, that's not true Christianity, because the world does that.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ said, your righteousness must exceed that of the religious Pharisees. So, in other words, if you're going to be light, you got to be different than what religious Pharisees are.
Wow. Amen.
So, in order to be different and to shine in darkness, you should be able to, when they cut you off in the traffic, and if you got road rage, you see, God want to be able to change that, where instead of you flipping them off and cursing them out, and then go to church Sunday and say hallelujah. He said that's not balanced. He wants you to be one way at all times, meaning that no, regardless of who it is or what's being done, you should be able to be like, have the mind of Christ. Remember, while we were sinners, while we spat in his face, while we whipped him, while we nailed him, he knew his purpose was the cross.
Amen.
And the enemy tried to tempt him to come off the cross. Even while he was on the cross, they said, physician, physician, heal yourself. They were mocking him. You saved others, and you can't save yourself? Come off the cross. That's what they told him. Come down from the cross. And Satan is tempting you and I every day, because we're supposed to be crucified with Christ.
Amen.
And every time a situation happens, Satan said, come on, come off the cross. Come on, give them a piece of your mind. Let them know that they ain't getting over on you.
Amen.
Let them know that you can't see when somebody does you wrong or whatever, you address, you know, the individual. You don't have to be all mean to man, but there we go attributing their wrong to a whole race. All white people this way or all black people that way. And see, that's not the mind of Christ.
Ooh, amen.
That is not the mind of Christ. Whoever does you wrong, you address it, get it right, keep moving. And most of us, God give you the power to overcome all resistance. So when we hold on and looking at the color of somebody's skin and stuff that happened years ago that God delivered us from or delivered the nations from, and we're going, supposed to be going forward, enemy always want to keep you going backwards.
Amen.
He always want us to hold on and look at stuff in the past.
Amen.
And God says, you remember your past to remember where I brought you from, not for you to go back and to hold on to anger and malice and bitterness. So God, these things God has to deliver us from. He wants a people. I was reading it about Frederick Douglass and what's his name? Booker T. Washington. These people were brought up during the times of slavery. Frederick Douglass was so engaged. You know, he was young. His mother died young, or what have you. And he was trading and all this stuff. But he said one of the masters came and whipped him. And guess what he did? He grabbed that whip and whipped him back. And he said, you know, he was a young boy. And he said the people, they looked at him. They were, like, scared of him. And he made a way of escape, got out of it. And you know, he could have held on to this malice and how they treated him, because that was a rough time. But guess what? These two men, they did not try to use violence. They did not try to use poor me. We went through. I'm a victim. These two men rose to the top and paved the way for us, created schools, wanted to educate the slaves. Y'all see what I'm saying? They didn't take their mishaps in life and just become bitter and malice and angry with a whole race. Booker T. Washington said, at one point, I wanted to be mad about him. He said, but then I felt kind of sorry for him.
Wow.
He said, because I had a trade. They didn't.
Wow.
I knew how to work and earn. They didn't. Because, you know, the black people did it all at that
mm-hmm.
time. So they took, instead of looking at it from a negative perspective, and this is where you and I have to get the mind of Christ. We are the enemy, the media, the TV, always want to take us back to where we're angry and bitter, why there's a motive. And Satan did the same thing. He had a motive, and his motive was to gain control over them. So whoever you let anger you, whoever you let keep you in a state of unforgiveness, see, they got control over you. Christ said, he said, be of good cheer. He said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome. And the reason why he said that was because this good work that he was going to work in us was going to give us the power to overcome all resistance.
Yes. Amen.
See?
Minister Peter.
Yes, ma'am.
This pastor I know, mm-hmm. and I think I told you this one time before, he was up in the pulpit, and this man, this white man, came in off the street and
uh-huh.
walked up on the pulpit where the pastor was and
mm-hmm.
spit in his face. Mm-hmm. And the members, they all got upset over it, and they wanted to fight the man. He told them, no, leave him alone and let
mm-hmm.
him go.
Wow.
And he took his handkerchief, he wiped his face, and they, mm-hmm. most of them, was very upset because the pastor wouldn't let them bother him.
Wow.
Mm. That was a tough one, too.
Yeah,
it was.
But
some preachers would have bite him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times, and I'm not condoning what the guy did by spitting in his face, but a lot of times, right then, God said, let me show you what's in your heart.
Wow, amen.
And a lot of people's hearts got exposed. Y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people's hearts got exposed, because a lot of times, I don't care, and I know it sounds rough, people want to mistreat us and do us wrong, but remember, this life, I always remember what the life of Christ, how they treated him. He said, a prophet is without honor in his own home. They didn't even respect him in his own. His brothers and sisters didn't even believe him.
Jesus.
He went to city, and they said, "Who? This is Mary's son. How are you going to be the Messiah?" They got mad because he cast out, he was helping them. He cast out demons, legions of demons, over 2,000 demons, I think it was, in one man.
Wow.
And this man had been living out in the graves and the tombs. The
mm-hmm.
people put him out there. Church couldn't help him. Christ went there and delivered him, and the demons wanted to go into the swine. And they went into these people's swine, and they got mad because of the swine jumping over in the cliff instead of a man being happy that a man was delivered.
Amen.
And it said he didn't do many miracles because they kicked him out. They were mad about their swine. You see? So what am I saying? There's going to be mishaps and stuff happening to us in life. But a lot of times God, remember, he takes the evil and work it for the good. And if we happen to fail and act up in the flesh, guess what? God says, now you see what's in your heart. Let me fix it.
Ooh, amen.
Let me take
amen.
Away the anger.
Yeah.
See, a lot of times the stuff that the response that we give when it happened, I'm not saying if it happened, because it's going to happen. When it happens, the response and the failure, it's a good thing, as long as you get back up. See,
amen.
A just man fall down, the Bible says, 7 times, but what happened? As long as he's getting back up and realizing I made a mistake, yeah, I cursed him out. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Lord, help me, take this away from me. When we acknowledge it, God, we give him access. We give him permission to work on it. See?
Yes. Amen.
I know we don't have time, but let's go to Galatians 3, and we'll hopefully get through this one. This will be the last one for tonight. In Galatians 3.
And 1.
Yes, start at verse 1.
O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you?
Now notice he says, he calls them foolish because they didn't use their powers of perception. The Holy Spirit had come into them to be the counselor, to be their guide, to be their comforter, right? So remember, when you and I get saved, we have to stop being dependent on our efforts, our strength, our ability, and learn how to rest. The Bible says we have to cease from our own labor, and that's in trying to live for God. So when these Judaizers came into these Christians in Galatia, they told them, you're saved, but add to it. You got to be circumcised. So immediately they was taking their salvation out of the hands of God and putting it into their own hands. Paul says, who has bewitched you? Who has cut in on your race and hindering you from what? Obeying, that you should obey. He said that you should not obey the truth. See? So these things that's happening that we encounter, they're coming in to hinder us from obeying the truth. What happened with Adam and Eve? God said don't eat from the tree. Who cut in on them?
Satan.
You see? And he told them alternative facts, told them something. He negated God's word by adding one word, which was not. You shall not surely die. And see, they knew the truth. But so when these people, whether it's you, whether it's your beliefs, whether it's your own personal agendas or motives or false teachers and teachings, whatever comes in and hinder you from obeying the truth, you have to remember that Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you, meaning that that's where he began the good work.
Amen.
At the cross. Remember, he says, this only, with verse 2, would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You didn't work to be saved, in other words, is what he's saying. He said, but you, faith came to you by hearing the word of God.
Yeah.
And because you placed your faith in the right object, Paul preached the cross, they put their faith in the right object, then the Holy Spirit came into them to do a work, and they should have obeyed the Spirit. So when we allow things and influences and wrong teachings and all these things, biases and opinions to come in, these things bewitch us from obeying the truth of God's word, the cross.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to turn your TV off. You got to turn the radio off because most of this stuff on TV, remember, it's a part of the world system.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to continue to paint a narrative or a picture that the world system can paint to keep you in bondage.
Amen.
At the same time, we were talking about Booker T. Washington and what's his name, Frederick Douglass. At the same time that Booker T. Washington was establishing schools to help the Negro slaves to learn to read and write, he created institutions. He went up to the president, and he had all kind of accolades. There was W.E.B. Du Bois, and he was working against him, see? He was saying, oh, this man coming in and he trying to do this and he doing that. He ain't nothing but the white man this and the white man. But this man was working to help the Negro with being free and getting educated. Y'all see?
Amen.
And this other man was working, coming behind him to trying to mess up what he was doing. And it was keeping some of the slaves in bondage. So this guy was he was a socialist, W.E.B. Du Bois. He was a socialist, and he come around. He wasn't helping them. He just kept them from getting the freedom to learn to read and write and educate themselves. You see, when we choose to rely on people instead of seeking God and the Word for ourselves, you're in bondage to your old mindset and those people. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And what was happening with these Galatians, they were putting themselves under the bondage of these Judaizers and their teaching. This is why Paul called them foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? See, he says, the note says, these Galatians were practicing salvation by faith and sanctification by self.
Yes.
See, this is the same thing that's happening today. We get saved, we go to church, and we think that because I paid this, Lord, you owe me. Because I sowed a seed, God's going to move and work. That's not how the true living God works.
Amen.
But these teachers and teachings and ministries that's pushed Christ out the way have caused people to foolishly disobey the truth, the Spirit of God. See?
Amen.
This spirit has been in running away from the beginning of time, and it's up to you and I to die to ourselves, die to our own desires, and pick up the will of the Father. See, the sole purpose of you and I being saved is not to have our will fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to have our desires fulfilled, and this is the biggest scheme or the trick that's what bewitching is. Eve thought she could become wise. She went from doing things God way to doing things her way. Many of us want to see our children changed and do the best we can for them. But guess what? You in and of our strength are not responsible. They're going to have to reach an age where they got to want Christ for themselves and seek Him the same route.
Amen.
By faith. In the cross. If I keep giving them and supplying for them, they're never going to get it for themselves. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So on that note, any questions or comments? We're going to get ready to close.
You're going to close first.
Well, I'm just asking, got any questions pertaining now to that, what we just read, before we close, and we're going to take questions and comments at the end. But we want to thank everybody for tuning in. We're going to have to close on that note. And I didn't say it like I wanted to say it tonight, but I just pray that we take this teaching, because we've been on it for a while, but I want us to see that there's a lot of things that get in the way of us living for God. And I was going to go to Second Thessalonians to see how the false teachers came in and persuaded the people away from Christ. And all it does is it pushes them into much heartache, stuff that God does not want us to go through. And a lot of times we go through it because of wrong direction, because of the wrong object of faith. And so if we can avoid, if we can read and study and come to know how to live for God with the right object of faith and let Him keep us from going on those paths of errors and heartache, then hey, we should be jumping for joy to seek Him out and how to do it the right way. You understand?
Amen.
So until next Tuesday, for those on the line, hold on. We'll take questions and comments. But we'll meet again next Tuesday at 6:45 on an understanding of God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.